And so Sunday right around, Saturday is the seventh day. That is the Sabbath day. And as the names have been given to the days. So God really gives a pattern here for a six-day work week with one day of rest. Now, you say, well, where in our land, really, there's more of a five-day work week. Where did that come from? Well, that came from the fact that Christians knew man did need to rest on one day, and that Sunday is not really a day of rest. Anybody feel like Sunday's a day of rest? Huh. Hannah, you think it is a day of rest? No, you do? Yeah.
And it actually was telling me I don't get enough rest like every day of the week, but only on Sunday was I getting enough rest. I was like, how is that possible?
In a sense, ministry is, it should be restful in a sense. Like our body should respond well to it. We are sitting a good bit. Well, you all are. amen. I know I'm not resting on Sunday. I guarantee you that. Just say it, right? And you are? Amen. And so, by the way, some can rest more than others on Sunday, but it's a day of ministry, really. It's a day of worship. It's a day of coming together and praising God and ministering. It's a day of ministry, really, in recognition of God. Remember, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath, and anybody that says that doesn't understand their Bible, or they try to replace Christianity, replace that and put that into more of a Judaism type thing, but it's not. We have not replaced Israel. And so remember, Jesus instituted Sunday when he rose from the dead as the Lord's Day. It's the resurrection day. We meet on Sunday as a way to celebrate Christ's resurrection, right? And when Jesus met with his disciples after his resurrection, it was always on a Sunday, first day of the week. And so that's why we do that. But keep in mind, it's not really a day of rest. We're going to look at exactly what was meant by a day of rest. And what did Jesus mean here? So in our country, five-day work week, because they allowed for an extra day for church with Saturday still being a day of rest and getting all 5 days in then of work. That's really the thought behind that five-day work week, wherein we find that there, and it's still a six-day work week, right? Because 5 days working, maybe a secular job, something like that, and then one day ministering. That would all, in a sense, be classified as work. Look at Matthew 12 now, and in verse number 9. Matthew 12, verse number 9. And it says, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. So they're kind of poking and prodding here a little bit. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out? I love how Jesus does this. Just like we were talking on Sunday, there's a story given to speak a truth that they would not receive if it was directly spoken, right? And so we see it in this other light. Well, yeah, if I got a sheep there and it falls into a pit, well, yeah, I'm going to pull it out of that pit. Well, of course, it's a part of my livestock, and it's in a pit. And it needs help. Of course, I'm going to help it. Verse number 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? I'm glad that God said that mankind's better than animals. Amen? Amen. 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 That's good. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Isn't that interesting? It's okay. It's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. What are you doing healing that guy on the Sabbath day? See, they felt like the Sabbath day, supporting it, servicing it, was more important than the people that the Sabbath day was actually meant to help. Is that amazing? And so we see this here. Remember our verse, Mark 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Did God institute offering and religious service on that weekly Sabbath day? Was the Sabbath day a day that everybody went to the synagogue, went to the temple? No, it wasn't. Isn't that interesting? What we do in church on Sunday is nothing like what they did on Sabbath day, Saturday. It was nothing like it. That's not what it was meant to be. Look over at Exodus 16. Exodus 16 and verse number 29. Say, well, then what did God intend for Israel to do on the Sabbath day, on Saturday? Now, there were other Sabbath days that were religious days, right? That they would not work in, and they would actually come. Like there's Sabbath days connected with the Passover and different ceremonial type things that would take place on a Sabbath day. But the weekly Sabbath day, that's what we're talking about. That weekly, the seventh day of each week, what was it given? What was the institution there? What did God intend for man to do on that seventh day, that day of rest? Exodus 16, verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Watch this. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. You know what God intends for us to do, or what God intended for man to do on that seventh day? Stay home. Stay home, spend time with your family. And don't use it as a work day around the house, women. It's not a day to clean. You got other days to clean. I know Saturday is a great day to clean and all that, but that was not what the Sabbath day was instituted for. Here's our problem. We don't know what to do with each other when we're at home and we feel guilty that we still have other stuff to do, and we don't even know how to talk with each other. We don't even know how to enjoy each other's company without doing something. And what God said here is this. He said, I'm going to give you the Sabbath so that you don't have anything else to do. I don't want you doing any. I want you just to sit around and look at each other and talk with each other and get to know each other after a hard week of work. Spend rest. We're going to find another phrase that's utilized. You're to be refreshed on the Sabbath day, meaning your family should be able to refresh you. I know that's not able in some families. I get it. But that's what it's supposed to be. It's a refreshing time. Amen. The last day of the week was a day to stay home and rest from all labor. You say, well, then I got things to do. Then you got too many things to do. Do you know right now, if some of us have, this has happened to, we got sick over the last month and we couldn't even get out of bed. What work got done while you're laying in bed? None. Do you know what that teaches us? The world didn't stop. I mean, you laid there because you're sick and did nothing, and life kept on a moving. See, and you thought if you didn't get all that done, that life would stop. It didn't. It's proved that, amen, that a day off can happen, and the planetary system still moves. Everything still happens, amen. The sun comes up, it goes down, the moon, all that's still going on. It didn't need you to service it. Exactly. Exodus 32:12. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, not just you, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed in this way, that your car might get a rest, amen. I know it's a mechanical thing and you think it doesn't need a rest. But the point is this, that their livestock, that their beasts, that the things that they would use day in and day out throughout the week, That's why there was instituted a thing where they wouldn't go very far and all that. It's so everything around them could have rest. It's a day of rest. It's at rest. Luke 13. Luke 13. Verse number 10. I know we live in America. I know we live in an industrialized society. And I know we feel guilty if we're not. And I'm glad that we have a good work ethic. I'm glad for that. And what we do, we feel guilty sitting around doing nothing when there's work to be done. I'm with you. I'm a doer. I understand what we're talking about. But God made us in such a way that we do need some rest. Amen? Luke 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Infirmity would be a disease, right? How long did she have this disease? 18 years. And was bowed together. So it's affecting her muscular system. And she was bent over and could in no wise lift up herself. She's in bad shape. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, that wasn't a derogatory term, amen, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Is that awesome? I don't care what day it is. That is awesome right there. This woman who has been crippled for 18 years has been set free. Amen. You would think everybody would be excited. Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Stop. What did he say Jesus was doing? Working. Interesting. He said Jesus was working in his healing on the Sabbath day. And what Jesus is making the point of in reference to the Sabbath day, it's not wrong to do right on the Sabbath day. It's not wrong to do good unto others on the Sabbath day. It's servile labor that's wrong, you see. That's the point he's making. The Pharisees did not understand that because they made this a law unto themselves, in a sense. They were worshiping the Sabbath day. They were servicing the Sabbath day. So it goes on to say, it says 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. What are you doing healing this woman on the Sabbath day? No regard for the fact she'd been crippled for 18 years. Who cares about the woman? No, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Now, let me just say this in reference to that word hypocrite. What was the Pharisee doing on the Sabbath day? What's his job? Yeah, his job is to basically judge the people. He is to preach the law, keep people in line to the law. Why aren't they at home? The Pharisees were out doing their job that they were only supposed to do 6 days out of the week. They were supposed to be home with their families. What are they doing in the temple? And what's going on here that all this is happening? I'll tell you why. Because on the outside, they're acting like they're keeping the Sabbath. But the reality is that they built laws. They built this mechanism, this means in order to fulfill the Sabbath, which totally departed from the actual intent of the Sabbath in the first place. And now you have the Pharisees saying they're keeping the Sabbath, but they're working on the Sabbath, right? And they're saying others are not keeping the Sabbath and they're not working on the Sabbath. They're doing right on the Sabbath. Do you see the difference? And so he says, thou hypocrite, because here the Pharisee who's calling them out is the one breaking the Sabbath. Interesting. Well, this goes on. says the Lord, verse 15, then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from his stall and lead them to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Again, the Sabbath was not made for man. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made in order to institute a day of rest for man, because we don't like to rest when there's things that we want to do. We don't like that rest. We like to just work. We're industrious. We like to do things. And if people are over us, they're prone to make us work well beyond our ability. And so if you have an owner or a master, and in a sense, someone that you work for, however that works out, if they can get 7 days of work out of you, they will. Do you know there's companies in our country that work their people 7 days a week? I was just looking at this thing, and actually it was 20 days. Yeah, you work 20 days and then get 10 days off. Can I say that that's not biblical? That's not good. It's not good to work 20 days straight. It's not good to work 3 weeks straight and then get a couple days off. That is not how God intended it. And it will adversely affect our health. Look at Exodus 31 and in verse number 12. Exodus 31 and in verse number 12. Does anybody here feel overworked? Yeah? Then follow God's leading here and take a day off. Not a day that you work around the house, a day that you just spend with your family. Yes.
She likely had not enjoyed or rested on a Sabbath for 18 years. Right. He was actually allowing her to rest.
Wow, that's true. He enabled her to finally get some rest. He wasn't considering it work, but he was working.
He wasn't considering what she was even going through.
Right.
All the Sabbath, she wasn't really even able to rest.
Right. I don't even think the Pharisees cared that people rested on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the point. They just wanted to make sure people serviced what they called the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. That's all they cared about. That you keep this, right? Boy, we want to be really careful that we don't lose track of people while we maintain this set of whatever it is, standards or laws or rules. That was never God's intent. Never God's intent. Exodus 31, verse 12. By the way, you have people that are Christian that feel justified in being angry, yell, manipulate, hurt, defame, blaspheme people. And the reality is what that person needs is your love. And we miss it. And we feel justified because we compare ourselves with them and we think we're better than them. When the reality is we're just a hypocrite. We're just a hypocrite. We are worse than them because we know better. And we feel like we can just cast them aside because they don't have anything good for us. Right? They're mean to us. They're whatever. And that we then can break the law and then accuse them of being wicked. And I think God has the same word for us if we do that. It would be thou hypocrite. Right? That's not what God intended. Exodus 31, verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout all generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. You say, how does that do that? Well, here's a people that take a day off. That is different. Here's a people who are in a sense just following God in this and staying home and spending time around their families and refreshing themselves in that way. This is different than most societies operate. It's a sign, he says, and it will it'll set you apart. Verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shalt thou work, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. And by the way, we better be really careful that we're not forcing people to work on their day of rest. Amen. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. There's got to be a day of refreshing on a weekly basis in our lives. It doesn't have to be Saturday. It can be any day, but that's the principle, a day of rest. And that day would mean no servile labor, no servile work, where we actually spend time in our homes and get refreshed. Now, why did God give Israel the Sabbath as a command? Because we are prone to not take a day of rest, because others are prone to abuse us in this area. Look at John 5. John 5 and in verse number 1. John 5, verse number 1. Gonna move quickly. I got a few portions of scripture here. I might just have to give you a not read. John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, watch this, 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there by the pool and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Well, yeah, amen. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And you almost picture him. I mean, here's a guy that can't really walk and all that. He's laying there by the pool. It's kind of a pathetic scene in a sense. He's trying to flop himself into the pool before someone else steps in. That's what's going on. He has nobody to help him, he said. It says in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day, the Sabbath. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Do you see how important this day is for the Jews to protect? Even if there's a guy who was just healed of his infirmity of 38 years, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. He laid there by this pool, hoping for an opportunity that the others weren't paying attention, so that when the water was stirred, he could flop himself in the water and be made whole on that day. And here's a guy that happens to be carrying his bed because Jesus told him to, and they're upset over the fact that he just healed this guy and he was carrying his bed. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, of course, which he was and is. Amen. Mark 2 said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Look back at Leviticus quickly, Leviticus 23. I just want you to see all these different passages and how the Sabbath is talked about and how the Pharisees actually abused this doctrine that God instituted for man's help, that God instituted to refresh man. And the Pharisees have turned this thing around that now they are to service the Sabbath and they are to be held under the onus of the Sabbath. That they are to do everything that they have to hurt themselves and remain in bad conditions so that the Sabbath can be upheld, when the whole reason the Sabbath was instituted was to give man rest and to give man some refreshing. Amen. In Leviticus 23 and verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation, a holy assembly. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Say, holy convocation, assembly. That's where the household assembled themselves. They were oftentimes scattered throughout the week, out in the field, taking their flocks here, all that. It was on that day that they were to come back together and assemble themselves together and present themselves together back to the family in their dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord. It goes into some other feasts and the different things that were instituted as well. And it says in verse number 7, it says, ye shall do no servile work therein. And that would be the point. No servile work therein, it again reiterates in verse number 8. No servile work on the Sabbath. No working in the field. No picking up sticks. A guy was killed over that. No gathering food, right? That's why when the manna came, a double portion came on Friday. They gathered it then. They prepared it then. That way they didn't have to work on that seventh day. No laboring in the kitchen. No use of the livestock. No servile work unless it was necessary in extreme cases because something happened, like a problem with the livestock and all that. It was to help, not to work. You could labor to help, but you couldn't labor to actually engage in servile work. So, what were they supposed to do on the Sabbath? Refresh each other. Spend time together. Get caught up from the week. And just be rested on that seventh day. Look at John 9. You say, I'd get bored. It's because of how we've trained ourselves that we get bored. It's because we look around and we see all the work that needs done. And we can't help ourselves. And we wonder why our health is failing. We wonder. Because we don't care for ourselves as God told us to. He said we need a day of rest. That's what he said. Our bodies need it. Amen. John 9, verse 1. You say, well, who's going to do the work then? On that day, nobody. Amen. It'll be all right. It'll all work out. Remember, if you're sick for a full day, it still worked out. The world didn't stop. John 9, verse 1. Jesus passed by and saw a man who was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. And his disciples saw him, say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind, of course, no one. Anyway, he was able to go wash in that pool of Siloam. And we find in verse number 8, he washed, came seeing. Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. And they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay on mine eyes. I washed and do see. And it says in verse 16, therefore some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received sight. It goes on. You guys don't know the story. It goes on from there. And there's this back and forth all over this whole thought. Here's a blind man. He can now see. Who did it? Jesus. Yes, but it's the Sabbath. He can't be of God. And on and on and on. The parents wouldn't even speak up with him because they're afraid they would get kicked out of the synagogue. Then all this pressure was laid on them to perform whatever work the Pharisees wanted performed, or lack of work, to service the Sabbath day. Now, we saw that the Pharisees' job was being worked on the Sabbath day. That was okay. That job was okay because the Pharisees said it was okay. That's the way the Pharisees operate. That's the way that hypocrites operate. It's okay for me to do this, but it's not okay for you to do it, right? It's okay for me to profane this thing, but I'm not going to let you. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it's just a bunch of hogwash. God made us to take one day off each week in which we do not work. We rest. We enjoy time with our family at home. We refresh ourselves. We get re-energized, if you will. Sunday may be that day for you. It is possible, if you're not engaged in a lot of ministry, that day could operate as such. It could be that day. Then for others, it's not that day. You just need to know how that works for you. It may be that part of your day of a week of a day of rest is on Sunday. And then another part of that would be like a Saturday or something. I don't know. I know for me, on really Saturday, the latter part of the day, I try not to do anything. I try not to plan anything. I try to use that as a rest time. Maybe do a little study, a little time in the Word, and just refresh, be at home. I try to keep my Saturday nights at home or afternoon, all that. And I kind of use that for that. Maybe I need to expand that a little bit. I don't know. But the point is that we need to be careful in reference to passages like this and realize, yes, God did not reinstitute the Sabbath for us to keep as in a commandment. I get it. In the New Testament. But the principle of the Sabbath day of rest was instituted at creation and still is in place today. And we need some rest. Not rest away from family. All right? Rest around those that we're keeping, we're catching up with. We're gaining that rest. We have somebody, a group, some group that we can refresh with. Amen? And that's kind of how God intended it. Amen? Any thoughts, questions on this? Remember the passage, Mark 2, 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Amen? Thoughts? Yes.
Think about that passage in Isaiah 59 where it talks about true and right fasting, but then it then starts talking about the Sabbath like right after that. But basically it's, which I think we know this, but God wants us to be selfless. He wants us to be completely outward focused. And I was thinking, you know, he said, like, basically, this is the fast I've chosen, so that you would bring the poor into your house, and that you would feed them, and that you would take, and you clothe the naked and whatnot, and that you wouldn't smite with the fist of wickedness. And then when he starts talking about the Sabbath, he says, not thinking thine own thoughts, not talking thine own words, but, like, basically, it's just all, which we may not think about it that way. It's like, we think we need quote-unquote me time, but the more outward focused that we are, the better rest we're going to get. So if we spent the entire week doing our own thoughts, doing our own words, using our own words. But then we just took 1 week to focus on God's word, only just speaking about what he wants to speak. Like just thinking about what he says. It'll actually bring us more refreshment and rest, I believe.
And not just that shouldn't just be a day, though, where we just spend that time with God, right? It really is meant to spend that time with people. And like if you don't have like a large family or you're on your, it's okay to be in someone else's dwelling. But the point is that we're not going over there to work together. And if you do end up going over to spend time with somebody, it shouldn't be that, well, they have to feel like they have to, you know, now serve us a big meal and all these things. No. We're just refreshing ourselves this day. We're just relaxing this day. And I guess the point of this message is sometimes, I think sometimes with all that we have going on, we feel guilty for that. But the Bible says we need it. We need that time where we're not trying to figure things out. We're not working, right? We're just relaxing. We're just refreshing. We're giving our mind a break. We're giving our muscles a break. We're giving the servile side a break. And we're just enjoying company with people. Amen. Again, might be your own family. It might be that you go, it's okay to visit others on that day, but it's not even really a strong day of ministry. It's a day of refreshing. Ministry takes a lot out of people, right? And just because you're around somebody doesn't mean you have to minister there. If God leads, absolutely. But it's okay just to refresh. I think that's the point of the Sabbath. We're not going to work this day. We're just going to relax. Yes.
Well, the thing in connection to that is that, like, what he was doing was perceived as work from the Pharisees.
Yes.
You know, and I think we would perceive it as ministry as well.
Yeah.
But he didn't see it that way. And I'm just, like, when you look at
right.
like, what he wasn't really condemning the Pharisees for taking care of their oxen. Stuff like that.
No,
he fell in ditches. He was just saying, look, you see that somebody's in trouble, you help them. Like, this isn't breaking the Sabbath. This is actually fulfilling the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know? So I was thinking just that outward focus more of like, you don't rest, don't do your own thing, just stop all your work. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, the outward focus is where it should be.
And I would say as long as you're not out there searching for someone to minister to, because that can fall into that side of that is work, that is labor, you know. I don't know. I think it's something you just need to pray about and operate in a right way, but just know that God has made us to rest, whatever we call it. And we don't want to make that word into something more than it is. Rest is rest, you know. And if while you're resting a need pops up, absolutely take care of it. Like if you can help somebody, help somebody. But it's still supposed to be a day of rest. And I challenge you to try to do this. Try to pick one day and just rest on that day. And don't let yourself work. See how it goes. Might be uncomfortable at first. Amen. But focus on people. Enjoy time with people, with God. Use that as that day. Not a day that you have to perform, but a day you get to be refreshed. Nope, it says in your dwellings. Yeah. You should be in a house somewhere, amen. Somebody's house. I don't know. Just pray about it. It's a challenge. I think whatever was given tonight, I think it'll be a different type of challenge to all of us. Amen. A different type of challenge. But let God challenge you in this way. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this teaching. And it's been very thought-provoking from my standpoint as well. And a lot of wheels are turning, I can see, as people consider what this means for them. But Lord, help us not to fall after the ways of the world who can never rest. There's no rest to the wicked. They don't know how. They always have to be doing something. They just don't know how to stop and smell the roses, as that saying goes. God, help us, Lord, not to be like that, but to richly enjoy what you've given to us to enjoy. Work as we should, but then take that time to rest. God bless now, I pray, what went forth. Help us, Lord, each to understand individually what it means for our lives. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.